it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Ranger Report Podcast, Minor League Edition. News, insights, predictions, interviews, and information about the Texas Rangers minor leagues.
And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the Ranger Report Podcast, Minor League Edition, on the Comfort Air Online Studio. I'm Ben Dieter. That is Tyler Nielsen. Tyler, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Ben?
CJ has the night off. He's, you know, working, I don't know, a real job, whatever that is. He's taking care of that tonight, so we gave CJ the night off. All right, I wanted to start with someone in Round Rock tonight. I want to start a segment. I haven't told the guys this yet, and I'm just coming up with it now, but I want to do a thing, a player to watch. And I think since we're starting in Round Rock, and we always start in Round Rock, I think it has to be Jack Leiter, who was named the player of the week for the Texas Rangers minor league system this week. Jack went down from his one major league start, and he just looked phenomenal at Round Rock, Tyler.
He did. Jack went six innings pitched. He had eight strikeouts, three walks, which still not great, as we know the walk's kind of an issue. It's actually not been an issue this year down in AAA because I think he had three before he got promoted. Is that right?
That's right.
Threw 86 pitches, which 53 were strikes. 19 whiffs. That's pretty impressive right there. 19 whiffs. Yep. And he topped out about 98 miles an hour. So it was good to see him go back. And like he said, he had a positive mindset. Being sent back down, it didn't, no negativity towards it. And he obviously performed, and he will be back in the show pretty soon if he keeps on performing at that level.
Yeah. So he overall, he's 1-1 with a 2.66 ERA. But the big thing to me is he has 33 strikeouts in 20.1 innings and only six walks so far in AAA.
Correct.
So he is keeping those walks down. And also, opponent's batting average against him is 167 and his whip is 0.89. So that, I mean, he's definitely proving that stint in the majors was a good thing for him.
Absolutely. You make a good point. He got his feet wet, and it wasn't his first inning went really good in the pros. I thought, we felt comfortable and we were all excited as the fans, but he got a taste of what the big leagues really is like. But he could have easily used that bad momentum, I guess you could say, that negativity, and used it in AAA, but he didn't let him phase him one bit, and he looks really sharp, and hopefully it continues and we will see him before too long.
Yeah, I think so. Looking at other people on the pitching side, you've got a guy named Chasen Shreve, who we probably don't know a lot about. He's pitched 10 innings so far for Round Rock, and he has a 2.61 ERA. He has struck out 9 in 10 innings, so his strikeouts aren't that good, and he has five walks. But again, his opponent's batting average against is .094. He's doing something right. He's walking too many people, but when the batting average against is below 100, you're doing a pretty dang good job.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's one out of every 10. So that's, like you said, that's pretty impressive. That's very impressive, actually. Point, would you say 0.9?
Yeah, 0.094. So
0.09. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a, no, I'm not familiar with his name. I've got to do some more research on him, but
I'm not either. That just stood out to me looking down the roster here.
Yeah.
Mark Church, another one that people wanted at the major league level, as a 3.86 ERA right now. He has only pitched 4.2 innings because he's hurt, but he's a guy that I'll be watching out for when he comes back. I know CJ loves pitching, so I know CJ will be watching out for him too.
Right. And Mark Church began the season with us, as we know. And didn't he begin the season on the roster?
No, he didn't.
Oh, I thought Church was, I thought he was with us this year.
Nope, he did not.
Yeah. Maybe it was a guy that we talked about being on the roster, possibly coming
it
out.
Was. Of
the
it was pen. A guy that we all thought was going to be, but he wound up not.
That's what I'm thinking about coming out of the pen. But yeah, he's a name to look out for. I know CJ's real big. CJ's mentioned Church quite a few times. So yep. I know you'll listen to this, CJ. Shout out to you for bringing him up. Which is a good problem to have. You know, you have these guys that you never know what the injuries that we've know, as we know from the beginning of the season, what we're enduring right now. Yep. But Church looks good. Who else you got?
Guys, well, that was it on the pitching side. I was going to switch to the hitting side. Okay. Again, Blaine Crim is coming around. He started a little bit slow, but he's coming around now. 217 batting average with a 786 OPS. He has 5 homers and 16 RBIs so far in 83 at bats. But I was going to talk about Dustin Harris is a guy that people talk a lot about too. He's on the 40 man, I believe. He has 4 home runs, 9 RBIs, but he's batting 276. He's having a pretty good start to his season down in AAA.
He is. I've got some stuff on Dustin Harris down here written down. Yeah, that's a good point. Also Jonathan Ornelas. He's he had a pretty good week this past week. And those are guys, you know, Ornelas has been on the club before. But like you mentioned, Dustin Harris, he's a guy that we've talked about, kind of one of those things that he's blocked, you know, through the whole thing. But it's another good thing to have because, you know, the trade deadline will be here before we know it. You know, we hate to see these players that we do research on and we talk about and have on the show. But Dustin Harris is a guy that in my opinion, he's a big league player. I mean, he's going to make it to the big leagues. He's not going to bounce around from, you know, in the minors. So good for him. Hopefully he can keep it up and hopefully we can see him in the show soon.
Yep. And the
barring injury.
And the other guy in the Joey Gallo trade, Trevor Hauver, is having a pretty good start at AAA. This is his first year there. 206 doesn't seem like a great start, but he's getting his walks. He's doing pretty good. So he's walked 11 times so far this season, which is, you know, in 63 at bats, that's pretty good. He's walking more than 10% of the time, more than 10% of his at bats. So Trevor Hauver, another guy that you might see at some point, not yet, but he was the other guy in the Joey Gallo trade.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned the Joey Gallo trade. We absolutely robbed the Yankees in that deal. And I know Ben, you know, I was started a little bit later on, but I've heard stories about the whole thing, how you didn't like the trade initially when it first happened. Nope. But you look at the players that we got out of it with Josh Smith. You look at, of course, the guy you just mentioned. And then, well, we got 2 more guys. We got
Duran
out of it. We absolutely robbed the Yankees.
Glenn Otto, even though he didn't work out.
And Glenn Otto. But Glenn Otto was actually, I'm pretty sure at the time, was a top trade piece in that trade, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. And he had some good games for the Rangers, but just overall didn't work out. So,
right.
All right, and let's look at, if you guys don't follow the Prospect Times on Twitter, you need to, but we'll finish up here on Round Rock with some of their leaders. So the stolen base leader in Round Rock is Dustin Harris with 7, which is pretty good. The OPS leader is Derek Hill with a 1,007 OPS, which is a pretty dang good OPS.
That's very good.
The RBI leader, Sandro Fabian, who's someone that we've talked about before. He has 21 already on the season. So that is pretty good right there. So those are some of your leaders at Round Rock on the batting side.
So and speaking of Sandro Fabian, he had a walk-off hit the other night to win. So
he did, yes. He's won again. There's so many people. I mean, AAA is, you know, what do we call it? It's basically, you know, the major leagues of the minor leagues. You're facing real pitching. You're facing guys that there just wasn't a roster spot for. And if you're doing well at AAA, you're probably ready for the majors.
Right.
All right. Let's move down to Frisco. So the Frisco Rough Riders, they are 12-9 on the season. Oh, I forgot to mention the record of
12-14.
Yeah, thank you.
Of Round Rock.
Round Rock. And 12-9 I'm good English. 12-9 are the Frisco Rough Riders. So let's take a look at some. What do you have on Frisco that you did some research on?
I want to talk about Cody Freeman.
All right.
A guy that we haven't mentioned, I don't think, previously. Cody Freeman, the other day, he went 5-for-5. He was a single shy of the cycle, which, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Hold on. I'm looking at I've got all these notes and stuff. Okay, yeah. That's wrong. He went 5-for-5. He had a double, but he had two home runs, and he had a stolen base. So Cody Freeman might be a name to look after there in Double-A, maybe for a promotion, possibly. Yep. Another guy was Aubie Ortiz.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Now, Aubie Ortiz was shy. He was a home run shy of the cycle.
Okay.
So he was 3-for-5. Pretty much all the guys I have down right now for Frisco. Who do you have?
I have Josh Hatcher, right fielder. He is batting 345 with a 943 OPS. So he has three home runs, 16 runs batted in, which leads the team. He's having a really good start. If you're batting 345 and you've already had close to 60 at bats, you're having a pretty good start to the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
he's the only one on the team batting over 300.
Right. And that's a position that, there is some opportunities there with the Ranger organization, the outfield. I mean, you're still pretty loaded there, but that's still a position to maybe look out for in the future.
And another guy, again, who always gets talked about, and he's a Double-A to start this year, Aaron Zavala, because he works his walks. Aaron Zavala in 64 at bats has already walked 16 times. So
I was going to bring up Zavala, but I was like, we talk about him all the time, but but it seems like he's always stuck in either Double-A, Triple-A. It kind of goes back and forth, and it's like, dang, man, like, are we going to see this guy soon? Or
yep.
Well, it seems like he has a good plate approach. I mean, obviously he's very patient in the plate. I mean, with 16 walks, like you said, so he's doing something right.
Well, he's another one that's kind of blocked because there's so many outfielders in front of him. And another one that's kind of blocked and kind of an under the radar guy is Kellen Strom. Kellen Strom, another one who's had a pretty good start to the season. He has his walks are low, but his strikeouts aren't that high. He's walked 10 times, struck out 21 in 81 at bats, but he's batting 259 with a 658 OPS. But Kellen Strom is kind of an under the radar, very fast center fielder. Rangers really are high on him. They think he's really good. But again, where are you going to put him? They already have five really good outfielders at the major league level.
Well, yeah, it kind of comes down to one of those situations, barring injuries. We don't want that to be the case, but it does happen, unfortunately, in the game. It happens to every team. And
But
the Rangers organization has built a very, very good minor league system. And, it's one of those things that they don't draft, for needs. They draft the best available player.
Yeah.
Exactly. And in which I love, personally, I love that decision.
I love that. I love it as well. I love it as well.
Take the best available. And you can use them for whatever you need to later down the road. So.
All right. Now let's switch to the pitching side. This is a guy that we have talked about a lot, and this is a guy that needs to be talked about even more. And that's Dane Acker. Dane Acker in four starts is 1-0 with a 1.47 ERA. He has struck out 26 in 18 in the third innings, and his WHIP is a 0.93. So this dude is having quite the start to the season so far. He's given up 11 hits in 18 innings and struck out 26.
Yeah, Dane Acker, we've talked about him quite a bit.
Yep.
He's the guy. I think Dane Acker, I think his biggest thing is, I don't really know with Dane Acker. I mean, he's had injury issues, hasn't he, Ben?
Yeah, he has. Yep.
But he's been healthy the past season and a half or so. So if that all comes together and he can maintain that, I mean, I could definitely see him being in the Rangers organization. Is when I say not the organization, I'm saying in the MLB on the actual Rangers, maybe in the next possibly year, maybe two.
Yeah.
But he's had a hell of a season, like you said, and hopefully he can continue it too.
Yeah. Now, one more on the good side that I don't think we've talked about before, is Ben Anderson. Ben Anderson has a 2.45 ERA. He has struck out 15 in 14 innings, and he has a whip of 1.23. So Ben Anderson, a guy that I haven't talked a lot about, and I'm going to do a little more research on him. He's been in four games, started three of them, and he's given up 16 hits, but only four earned runs in those 16 hits. So he's apparently doing a good job and buckling down when he has guys on base.
Yeah, and that's the key for a pitcher. You know, you come in and you might have guys get on base, but it's, I mean, like you said, four earned runs, he's not allowing them to cross home plate, which is good. So, yeah, and like you said, I don't know. Honestly, it's the first time I've heard his name, Ben.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen it a lot either.
I'll do some research on it as well. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of kids in this organization that, you know, don't get their fair share of fame and stuff that we don't get to talk about because you have other guys that are the talk of the Rangers, you know, that, I mean, those are the ones that are supposed to be the future. So we'll get around to them eventually, I'm sure.
Well, and what we try to do on this minor league edition is bring you names you've heard of, but also bring up people that maybe none of us have really heard that much of who are starting to shine. Cause those are the guys that, you know, 3 years ago, nobody knew who Evan Carter was, you know, and now he's
look at him now
level and jacking home runs and doing a great job. So let's switch on pitching to the not so great side. A guy that I had a lot of hopes for, and CJ and I talked a lot about in 2023, and that is Ryan Garcia. The opposite of what I just said, he's pitched 12.1 innings and he has given up 14 hits and he allowed 12 runs in those 14 innings. So he is having a really rough start to the season. 8.76 ERA. Opponents are hitting 286 against him. So he is definitely a guy that was supposed to be great. And this is his second year in Frisco. So I don't know if it just doesn't have his stuff right yet or what's going on with him, but he has had a pretty rough start to the year.
Yeah, from what you're, I mean, from the stats that you just poured out, that's brutal. I mean, that's
He's also struck out 10 in 12 innings and also walked 10. So,
yeah, that's, I mean, Ryan Garcia, I wish you nothing but the best, but
yeah,
you gotta turn it around. That's not going to last in the league. I mean, because
no,
that's just like, I mean, I don't have another word for it. That's horrendous. You know, I mean, those stats are, they don't lie, but I don't know if he's battling. Do you know if he's battling injuries or if it's?
I don't. I just know that he. I think it's more of what Jack Leiter went through last year, where he's overthinking it, and I think it's in his head.
That's what I was going to ask if you thought it was more mental, but I don't know. Maybe he could find that light switch, kind of like Leiter did, because Leiter there for. I mean, it wasn't just a year; it was, you know, 2-3 years that Leiter was having all these things, but you know, he was bouncing around from all these things and. I don't know what different coaches were telling him what, but hopefully Ryan Garcia can figure it out. And because it sounds like from what you're saying, you and CJ have talked about him and have high hopes on the kid.
Yeah, he was fantastic at Hickory and he got called up last year to Frisco and did okay. Not great, but this year has started so rough for him.
Right.
And then another one that has had a really rough start to the season is Nick Kroth, who we've talked about a little bit, not a lot, but he is, well, his stats are even more concerning than Garcia's, because in 15.2 innings, he's given up 18 hits and 14 runs. He has only struck out 7 in 15 and 2/3 innings while walking 11, and opponents are hitting 295 against him. So that is a pretty rough start.
Pretty rough.
I don't know. And like I said, I need to find out if he's, I'll talk to some people and find out what they think about him. Cause he's, I've heard his name and a lot of high praise for him in the past, but he has not had a good start to this season.
If I recall, is Nick Kroth, is he a sidewinder?
Yes, he is.
Okay, so I remember when the Rangers drafted him vividly. I was real big on the kid, and I know a lot of people were, the media, you know, they thought it was a great, you know, I don't remember what round they picked him up in, but they thought it was a pretty much a steal in the draft, but hadn't really followed the kid. But from what you're saying, he's kind of struggling right now, and same thing as Garcia. Hopefully he can, you know, figure it out and get the thing. Cause I know from what they were saying when he got drafted, the kid has a lot of potential.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When you get to AA, I mean, it is, even for college kids, when you get to AA, it is way harder than, you know, even college level. Like, they don't realize how good these kids are. A lot of players come straight from AA to the majors. A lot of them don't even go to AAA. You know, there's a lot of major league talent on AA rosters. And if you come from single A like Hickory, where you've got some good players, but you don't have that kind of talent, sometimes you just get in your own head trying to do too much instead of do what gets you there. I think sometimes the hardest thing to remember is to do what got you there. Like, that's the reason you are where you are, is because of the way you pitched. And if you start changing all that up, you're going to cause yourself problems.
And Ben, you make a really good point. You know, we had my cousin Parker on a podcast, and he was sitting there and talking about all the analytics and, you know, them throwing all these books and stuff at him. And he said, now, why the hell would I change up what I've done successfully my whole career to get to this point and go off of all these analytics and stuff? He's like, I'm going to do what got me here. And that's exactly what he did. Yep. And shout out to my cousin. He had a damn good career.
He believed
his ERA was right around 3.5, which
I gotta tell you, if I remember you and you're an angel, that means you had a pretty good career. And I remembered Parker before we had him on the show.
There you go. And you hit it on the head with that, what you just said, but you just go back to what works for you, you know. And I'm sure it's tough. It's easier said for us to sit behind a camera and sit here and say, well, you know, you got to hear this guy say this and all that stuff, but really just do what got you there.
Exactly.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, let's move to Hickory. They are 8-12 so far on the season. Let's start with offense with them. Their offense has been a little bit lacking. I believe their highest batting average is .273, which isn't bad, but no one else is really within. There's a .262. No one else is really close to that. They're really struggling at the plate so far this year. They've got a lot of low batting averages. Devin Hurdle is the one with the highest batting average. He's got a .273 batting average, but he has no home runs. And as a team, they only have 9 home runs total right now.
Yeah, going back to the offense, that's one of the teams I was trying to get as much information as I could on it to talk about it, some guys that we hadn't mentioned, but there's really not a lot of offense going on with them.
Guys, we've heard of Cam Colley, who, you know, had a monster end to his season last year. And .231's not terrible, but he's walked 0 times and struck out 11 times in 26 at bats. So he is he's definitely struggling with the strikeouts, right? We're supposed to have him on the show. We haven't yet, but he's struggling a little bit. You know, other guys you've heard of, Jace Easley is batting .125. He's a guy that you've probably heard of if you followed the Rangers for any length of time. Jason Morabell is another one. He's batting .172. And then Yossi Galan is another one people have heard of, and he's batting .209, but he's leading the team in home runs with 4 at least, and he's striking out a little bit less. He has 18 strikeouts, but, you know, it's just, I don't know, they're just not clicking right now or what, but offensively, they seem to be struggling mightily.
Yeah, and it seems to be the same theme around here, because every time we do one of these, when we talk about Hickory, it's about the offensive struggling.
Yeah, yep.
And you know, you would think after 20 games, because they don't play the 162 like the major league, but their season's a lot shorter. You would think at some point it's going to click or something's got to get going. So maybe in this next stretch of 20 games, and you know, honestly, Ben, all it takes is one hitter to get an offense going at times, as we know.
That's correct. Yeah.
And it might be one guy, like you said, Cam Colley might come in and, you know, go on fire, go on a streak, maybe a 10-game hitting streak and get the other guy going. So hopefully we could see something like that coming up in the next maybe 10, 15 games.
Yeah, another one everyone likes to talk about is the 17-year-old Sebastian Walcott. Sebastian Walcott, .188 batting average right now, but he's a highly touted prospect. He has got 10 walks. He struck out 25 times. Again, these guys are facing the best pitching they've seen at this point in their career, and he's only 17 years old. So Sebastian Walcott is another one to look out for when you're talking about Hickory, just someone to mention that we'll probably mention each week. And as we get into this, again, this is only the second, you know, episode of this of the Minor League Edition we've done. We'll start seeing trends and talking more and more about people, and we'll deep dive into some stats. I figured going forward, I'd like to do a sort of a player profile on each team, you know, or at least on maybe one or two of the teams each week, just to give people a little bit more information on some of these guys.
Yeah, and Ranger fans and listeners, listen to what Ben's saying about Sebastian Walcott. His name will be mentioned again. Kid has five tool potential, possibly.
Oh yeah.
Kid's gonna be a stud if he can develop right. You know, it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, the kid's only 17 years old, like Ben mentioned. Yep. So give it time, and if it pans out, this kid is gonna be a stud.
All right, let's switch over to CJ's favorite thing, pitching. Winston Santos is a guy we have to mention. Winston Santos, 3-1 with a 0.44 ERA.
Golly.
He has struck out 31 in 20 2/3 innings while walking only 7, and opponents are hitting 139 against him. So that again, the pitching on the Hickory side has also been good.
It has been good. You said his ERA was like about 0.4, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 0.44 right now.
And he's thrown how many innings?
That's 4 starts, 20.2
innings. 20.2
innings.
Wow.
That's a good start to the season.
Yeah, that's a good start for anybody. I mean,
he's given up 10 hits and 1 run. So
that's video game numbers, really.
That is video game numbers.
Another guy that's been pitching pretty well, had a pretty good outing last time, is Luis Ramirez.
Yes.
He only went 4 innings, but he struck out 6, walked 3, gave up only 1 hit. So Luis Ramirez is a name to also look down for at Hickory.
Hickory that everybody wants to know about is Brock Porter, the highly touted, high school signing that the Rangers had a couple of years ago. So right. Brock Porter, 0-2 with a 6.48 ERA. Again, not a great start, but again, the best he's ever faced right now, because this kid came from high school. He has no college experience, and he's facing some pretty decent hitters up there. But again, and you're only 8 innings into the season, not even a full game yet. So it's really not enough to judge. That's the thing about this point. It's more about development and if he's getting some pitches right and that kind of stuff, which we'll dive deeper into as the season goes on. And then Mitch Bratt, another one I wanted to talk about that we've had on the show before, with a 6.75 ERA. He struck out 17 in 13 innings. He's just, again, and only walked 2, but he's again having that issue of when guys get on base, they are scoring on him.
Yeah. And that's the key about it. You got to keep those guys from crossing home plate, which is easier said than done, you know?
Yeah. And of course, without watching the games, we don't know if there are errors involved or if there was bad plays or what that caused some of those runs to score. We just know he's pitched 13 innings, given up 10 runs.
Yeah, and I like how you kind of started this with the Hickory, talking about how it's more of a developmental process. Yeah. Because, you know, we look at names like Brock Porter and realize this kid got drafted out of high school.
Yep.
And we're like, man, this kid should be just bouncing up through the minors right now. But no, it takes time. I like the way you said that.
Yeah, these guys again, and while ERA is important and all that, it's more, like I said, you talk to scouts and they're more looking at, well, how's this pitch working for him? Has he improved this pitch? You know, where's his location? That's the kind of stuff they're looking for. That's where the real nerds get in and start deep diving. We're not there yet, but we're going to keep studying it. Hopefully get better.
Right.
Because those guys love, like, you talk to someone like Tepid and he'll break down, you know, he'll break down finger positioning and, you know, things like that for each one of these guys.
Blow your mind away, huh?
Definitely. So again, they all want to win. Like, they all want to win, but at the A levels, it's much more about development than it is about winning and losing, even though winning and losing is important. All right, let's finish up tonight with the Down East Wood Ducks. They are 10-10 on the season, which, you know, not bad. They're hovering around 500, just like the Rangers are.
Yep. They're another team that's over 500. Well, at 500 or above, we only have Frisco and them. So,
yep. Yeah. They're split right now. All right. Let's start with pitching on this one, since we started with hitting on the other ones. These names, you guys, not a lot of them that you've probably heard of, because these are the young guys. These are this is your lowest level right after the Arizona Rookie League. This is your lowest level. And, Willen Bormy, 198 ERA in 13.2 innings. He struck out 17 and he has a whip of 0.88. Someone that, again, I have not heard of before, these younger guys, as we get into researching these, I'm learning more and more about these guys, but he's had a pretty dang good start to the season.
Yeah, I've never heard of the guy either, but from what you're going off of on the stats, I mean, that's pretty impressive, even at that level. I mean, that's the beginning of it, you know, down east, but That's very impressive, actually. So, how do you pronounce his name again? Say it again.
I have no idea. I guess Willen Bormie.
Bormie or something.
Bormie. Bormie.
Okay.
And if someone on Twitter listens to this and they know his actual name, you can correct me if I got it really wrong. But I think that's how you pronounce it.
You're good.
I
did better than I could.
I sometimes blow those. Another one is Brayan Mendoza. Brayan Mendoza has a 3.14 ERA in 3 starts, 4 total appearances. Again, 12 hits. He's only given up 5 earned runs, and he struck out 16 in 14.1 innings. So he's another guy to probably keep an eye on down there at Down East. Brayan Mendoza.
What is his, did you mention his walks, or do you have his walks up?
Yeah, he has 7 walks in 14.
7 walks,
so,
which is
so every other a little high, but, yeah.
But still, I mean, hovering around 3 for your ERA, which is really good.
Yep. And again, ERAs are usually pretty good at this level because the pitching is usually ahead of the hitting.
Right. Which is to be expected.
Yeah, which is to be expected. And if the hitting is blowing it out, those guys get moved up pretty darn quick. So
Right.
And let's see who else. Colton Curtis, 1.59 ERA, 17 innings. He's only given up 3 earned runs. He's walked 6 and struck out 15 in 17 innings. So that's not bad.
Almost a strikeout an inning, which is really good.
Yeah, these are guys that you're gonna see probably get called up to Hickory at some point if this trend continues. If you're pitching, you know, 3 or below, you're probably, if you can keep that up for 6-7 starts, you know,
you're moving up pretty
usually mid-May, they start moving guys around. So you're a couple of weeks away from probably getting moved up into to Hickory from here. And there's some bad ones too, but I didn't want to focus on bad ones on Down East simply because, again, these guys are working on, you know, they may be adding a pitch. They may be, you know, working on location. They may throw 30 fastballs in a row because the coach wants to see them put it in a certain spot. You know, you don't know what their game plan is. So a lot of these guys will have a bad outing simply because they're working on one thing, kind of like spring training.
Right. And the way I break it down to most people that don't know, you know, hardly anything about baseball, but actually want to learn it, the Down East level and kind of Hickory are basically like a rehab start for MLB pitchers.
Yeah.
And when people ask that question, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, a rehab pitcher, you know, for instance, Max Scherzer right now, he's going through rehab assignments. He's down there. You don't look at his ERA, what he did when he went down for that rehab start. He's out there to throw the pitches that he needs to throw. So if it's 30 fastballs in a row, he's going to throw 30 fastballs in a row. He can care less about his ERA. Correct. These guys are trying to find their pitch down there, down east, that level, and see what works for them. And it just takes time. Once you figure those mechanics out and stuff like that. There's two guys I do want to mention though for down east. The first guy I want to mention is Cole Drake, pitcher.
Okay.
Last outing, he went 4 1/3, 7 strikeouts, pretty impressive. So I don't know if you have any stats on him for the year, Ben.
Hang on a second. Let me look real quick. I probably do.
I'm just going off of the last outing.
Yeah, who was it?
Cole Drake.
Yep, Cole Drake, yeah, 1.08 ERA total.
There you go.
13 strikeouts and 8.1 innings, a whip of 0.96. So, yeah, he's having a good season.
And then the last one is Paul Bonzagni.
Yeah, Paul Bonzagni.
We got to like that guy. You got to like that name at least.
1.69 ERA. He has given up. He's only struck out 4 in 10.2 innings, but a 1.69 ERA. Again, he's given up 12 hits, only allowed 2 earned runs. So that's a pretty good track record of keeping guys from scoring.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, I would always, you know, I think it'd be cool to go down to like some of those games, you know, down east.
Oh, I'd love to.
I think it would be one of those things because those are players you don't get to hear about unless you watch a show like this. And, you know,
and unfortunately, Hickory and Down East are not televised unless they're on the road because they don't have cameras at their home ballpark. But a lot of the road ballparks do. So if you get the MILB TV app, you can watch Hickory and Down East at those levels. But again, the camera work is not, you know, it's not great. So,
right. But still, it's better than nothing. It's better.
Yeah, I mean, you can still get to see these guys. So,
yeah, you still can see and you kind of know what their makeup's about, you know, how their batting stance is. And
yeah,
you still get a feel for it. It's a lot better on TV than it is just looking up numbers. You know, it gives you a whole different perspective of the game.
I know it always irritates me when the Rangers have a night off like tonight. on a Monday because all the minor league teams are off on Monday. So I can't spend time watching minor league games.
Well, that's what I was telling too. I was talking to Jamie earlier and she was like, well, what are you going to do tonight? And I was like, well, Rangers aren't playing. And I was like, looking and there's some basketball games, some playoff games on, but I was like, I'm not going to watch really any of those. I was like, I might watch the Dallas Stars, but they don't play till 8:30.
Yeah. They're a late in the game tonight. So
yeah, I hate those. I guess it's kind of West Coast. They're out in Las Vegas. So
yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up with a little offense from down east. A guy that you talk about guys that if they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to move up to the next level. And that's second baseman, Eric Alvarez, 19 years old. He is now he only has 26 at bats so far in the season, but in those 26 at bats, he is batting .423.
Gosh.
With a 1.025 OPS. So that's a pretty good start to the season in 26 at bats.
Yeah, I would say so. So basically he has he's about 10 for 26 on the year.
Eight for 26. You were close.
For 26 somewhere around there.
No, never mind. 11
for 11. 26. I was one off. So
he has 8 runs on the season. Yeah, he's 11 for 26.
Yeah, that's goes back to what I said earlier about one of the guys, you know, it's video game numbers. You go look at a guy batting .422. I don't care what level it is. If you're batting .422, you're doing something right.
You are definitely doing something right.
So, yeah, it's a name to look out for.
And also his where'd he go? His strikeouts. He's only struck out 5 times. So, you know, that's pretty good for 26 at bats with 11 hits.
That's very good.
That's very good. And then other guys that maybe people have heard of on this team. I know Tommy Specht is someone that I know I've heard of before. Tommy Specht is batting .220 with a .562 OPS. Not great, but again, he struck out 18 times in 50 at bats. So again, at this level, a lot of strikeouts. These guys strike out a lot, and that's part of that single A level. But no one is batting over .300 besides Alvarez, who's batting .423, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, I wonder what the other player. I wonder what Alvarez kind of looks around that clubhouse, and I wonder what the other players kind of look at him like, man, what are you doing? I mean,
How do you do that?
How do you do that? 422. Yeah, that's a guy that I'm glad you mentioned him because that's a guy I'll be following more now.
Yeah, I will be as well because I want to see how he does. So anyway, all right. So Jack Leiter won't be there long. We talked about that earlier, but I think. I enjoy doing these. It's fun. We're still getting used to it. CJ had the night off tonight, so we'll start digging deeper into individual players as we go through. Like I said, I'd like to pick a player to watch from maybe two levels each show. We'll maybe do like Round Rock and Hickory in one, and then Frisco and Down East in the other, so that we can start doing that and start giving you guys a little bit more information on people. We may get someone from the Prospect Times on. I know he listens to our show. Heath listens to our show all the time. We appreciate him. He always has just great numbers. If you want to know more about the minor leagues than we can ever give you, follow the Prospect Times on Twitter. Shout out. We love those guys over there. So anyway, Tyler, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's drop them.
Let's drop them.
Deuces. Oh.